はい。
Good morning again and welcome to Shelter Rock Church. For those who don't know me, my name is Henry and I'm one of the teaching pastors on staff. I'm glad to be with you and I'm glad each and every one of you are here today. I want to give a special shout out to our high school students in the room. Where are you? Are you here? Come on. We know you're taking a break from your time in the Yak. We're glad that you're here with us today. Also, I welcome any feedback, okay? So come see me after if you ever want to give me feedback or criticism or suggestions. I want to hear from you, okay? But I am glad to be with you. We are starting a brand new teaching series today, so you picked a good Sunday to come to church. The title of this series is called I Am. I Am. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has these I Am statements all throughout the Gospel. In fact, 7 different I Am statements where Jesus tells us who he is. The question that we saw on the screen just a moment ago where the voice said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? I want to suggest to you today that that is the most important question you will ever answer. It's a question that has implications for this life, but also in the life to come. What do you say about Jesus? Who do you say that he is? And in John's gospel, Jesus gives us Jesus' own words, right? Where Jesus time and time again says, I am, I am, I am. 7 times he tells us who he is. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate or hypothesize. We can just listen to Jesus' own words about his own identity and hear from the one who says, I am. Today we're going to look at this first of the 7 I am statements, and it is, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Someone asked me last service, what's with all the bread? Why do I see bread everywhere? And it's because, well, bread is the word for the day, and we're going to talk about how Jesus says, I am the bread of life. As I was thinking about bread, I thought about a book I read years ago. It's a short book. It's called Sleeping with Bread, Holding On to What Gives You Life. And in this small book, the authors tell a story, a true story, of something that happened right after the bombing raids in World War II. See, when Germany was bombing all across London and Europe, what happened was many people died. And as a result of many people dying, there were literally thousands of children who were left orphaned and abandoned and all alone. Literally thousands of kids. And so what happened was, here are these kids who had lost their mom and dad, who had lost their home, who had lost their place to live, who had lost their sense of security, who had lost the ability to go and know where to find food. And so the authorities stepped in, and what they did is they actually rescued thousands of these kids, and they sent them off to refugee camps, these homes, where their care providers would care for them. And they actually received really good care in that environment. They were cared for, they were provided for, their needs were met, they were loved and taught and cared for in that space. But you can imagine being a young child who had lost everything you'd ever known, who had been orphaned, who had dealt with trauma to that degree, and you know, they would still be filled with all sorts of fear. And so what was happening, and what the book tells this story, of these kids that even though they were in this safe place, they still had trouble sleeping at night. They would wake up afraid, scared, crying out, and nothing would soothe them. And so they tried everything. They tried security blankets, right? We would do this for our kids. They brought them blankets. They gave them stuffed animals. They gave them nightlights, all sorts of things to help them sleep through the night. But nothing seemed to work until one day, one of the care providers decided he would give each and every kid a very simple loaf of bread. And they gave the children a loaf of bread. And what they discovered that night was that sleeping, holding on to the bread, these kids were able to sleep. It was the only thing that gave them comfort or that reassured them. It was almost as if holding on to the bread at night, they were reminded, I ate today, and I'm going to eat again tomorrow. See, the bread for the children gave them this reassurance, this comfort of the care that they were under. And in our passage today, Jesus takes this same metaphor, this idea of bread, and he wants to give it to you and me to hold on to so that we could be reassured of his love and his presence and his care in our lives as well. We're going to read these words that Jesus says in John chapter 6 when he declares, "I am the bread of life." We're going to read the whole passage and then we're going to unpack it together. And so you can follow along. There are Bibles in the seats right in front of you. It's on page 1069. But if you don't want to do that, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen. John chapter 6. You can read this whole chapter. The emphasis is about bread all throughout. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He had just fed everyone with bread. They just received the baskets overflowing. The season in the life of the church was the Passover, which, if you know Jewish history, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So bread was on everyone's mind. That was the season in the church, and that was what Jesus had just done. He had given them all bread. But then the next day, that's where we pick up our text, these people are coming to Jesus, and they're looking for him, and they're looking for more bread. But Jesus is going to redirect them. He's going to offer them a very different type of meal. Starting in verse 25, this is what the scripture says. That when they had found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires? What does God expect of us? What is God asking of us?" Now don't miss this. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus answered, he says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what sign will you give us that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." You hear the urgency? "Give us this bread that comes down from heaven that gives life to the world." To which Jesus says these words. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We'll skip down to verse 49. Jesus continues and he says, "Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die." I am the bread of life. Don't miss these words today. There's bread all around you. You can see the bread, start to smell the bread. We're going to eat of the bread in a moment, but hear the words of Jesus. I am the bread of life. This isn't my focus today, but I want to highlight 3 things that come out of this phrase right here. In fact, these 3 things are things we're going to see all throughout this teaching series over the next 6 weeks. Each phrase we're going to look at begins with the word I am. And the word I am speaks to the deity of Jesus. It speaks to his deity, to his divinity, right? It goes back to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is before God in the burning bush. And you remember the text. Moses is before God, and he hears a voice in the bush, and he says, "Who are you?" And God speaks out, and he says, "I am." Well, Jesus, knowing that God had revealed himself as the I am in the Hebrew Bible, all through John's gospel, evokes that image. He says, I am, I am, I am. 23 times in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am. 7 of them, he tells them a specific analogy. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the shepherd. All of these things. But every single time, don't miss this, he's talking about his deity, his divinity. These are claims that Jesus is saying he is God. We're going to talk about that all through this series. This phrase evokes the deity of Jesus. It also speaks to the exclusivity of Jesus, right? Jesus is saying, I am the bread. Notice he doesn't say, I am a bread. I'm a bread of life. No, no, no. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every single time there's a definite article there, because Jesus is saying, people say today, there are many roads that lead to God, right? There's all sorts of paths that lead to God. All religions are basically saying the same thing. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you're here and you believe that. Jesus would disagree. In his own words, he would say, no, 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 there aren't many paths that lead to God. There aren't all these religions that are teaching the same thing. He said, no, 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 I am the bread. It's an exclusive claim. This is a claim of deity. It's a claim of exclusivity. But it's also a word of intimacy. Notice he says, I am the bread of life, right? Think about bread, right? You eat bread, you ingest it, you take it into your body, right? And there's this idea that you are what you eat. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take me in so intimately. Take me into your life so personally. Let me be the bread that gives you life. Now, for us living in our culture today, all this talk of bread, quite honestly, it's hard for us to get a handle on, right? Because we're not like a bread culture. In fact, we're like low carb and Atkins and gluten-free, and everyone's like afraid of bread, right? But think about it for a moment. When Jesus was speaking these words, bread was a staple in their diet. In fact, bread has been an essential part of a diet for most of human civilization. There's nothing more universal than bread. Travel to any country in the world today and they will give you their form of bread. It could be flat bread, it could be cornbread, it could be garlic bread, it could be tortillas, it could be, you know, bean bread, it could be unleavened bread, it could be all, you know, white bread, wheat bread, multigrain bread, all sorts of bread. But for all of human history, no matter where you go in the world, you'll find bread. In fact, they've uncovered bread in the tombs of mummies in ancient Egypt. They've uncovered loaves of bread there. They've excavated the ovens from Pompeii, and they've found bread there. For all of human history, bread has been an essential part of the diet of most people everywhere in the world. And Jesus is saying, as essential as bread is to your physical life, I am that essential to your spiritual life. Wow. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. There's three things I want to unpack from that simple phrase today, that Jesus is the bread of life. Three things that I'm going to help us walk through and understand together. As the bread of life, number one, Jesus satisfies us completely. He satisfies us. He fills us. He fills our hunger like nothing else can. Number two, he secures us eternally. Jesus is talking about a bread that doesn't just give life here on earth, but a life that carries over into the life to come. He secures us eternally. And third, he invites us personally. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and he invites every single one of us here today to take this bread and eat. He satisfies us completely. He secures us eternally. And he invites us personally. Let's move through these in order. Number one, he satisfies us completely. Notice what Jesus says in verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I imagine if you ate breakfast this morning, you ate something, but you know what's going to happen in a couple hours, or maybe it's happening already? You're getting hungry again. And if you don't eat lunch, maybe you skip lunch and you go towards dinner time, 5, 6, 7 o'clock tonight, you're going to start to feel hunger again. You and I, we have a natural human longing for food. We experience hunger. And as a parent with 4 children, I can tell you my kids are hungry all the time. Like, I have no idea. Like, why? Like, we just ate. We just gave you food. And yet, 10 minutes later, they're hungry. They want something else. They're constantly hungry. And this is the way we are all wired. Jesus takes the hunger, the physical hunger of the people in his text, and he teaches this point. Remember, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just multiplied bread and fed all of the crowds, and then he takes back the bread, and they've got 12 loaves left over. But you know what happens the next day? These thousands of people, they come looking for Jesus. Why? Because they're hungry again. They tried to make him king. They tried to make him ruler. Read John 6. All these things are happening. And Jesus said, no. I think you want me for different things. It's not what I came to do. I didn't come just to give you physical bread. Actually, I am the bread of life. I come to give you spiritual bread. I come to satisfy you fully. So you and I, we're hungry people. We are hungry people, right? Physically and spiritually. But the problem is sometimes we take our hunger and our desire for satisfaction, but we fill it with the wrong things. In our hunger, right? When I get hungry, I'll eat just about anything. And if you're like me, when you get hungry, you'll eat anything too, right? And so we look for food wherever we can get it, even if it's not the right food that's actually going to be good for us, right? There's a difference between true nourishment and empty calories. Jesus is saying, I'm true nourishment. I'm going to satisfy you fully. Don't settle for these empty calories somewhere else. I'll think of it like this, right? If I came before you and with two hands, and I gave you a choice between what you wanted to eat today, and on the one hand, I've got nothing but greens, and it's lettuce, and it's asparagus, and it's broccoli, it's all these things, right? And I say, here, look, take this, eat and live. It's good for you. You might do it out of obligation. You know you should. But if on the other hand, I put before you a slice of pizza, a hamburger, fries, you know, fried chicken, all sorts of stuff, these are a few of my favorite things, you know? And like, I don't know about you, but I see that and it's like, okay, that's what I'm drawn to, right? And yet, we know it's not good for us long term, but doesn't it feel good in the moment? It feels real good in the moment. We know it's not good for us. We know it won't satisfy. We know it's not going to help build strong muscle and strong bones. We know it's going to lead to problems physically. We know it's not going to help us, you know, improve our athletic performance. But still, we're drawn to these things like pizza and fries and all sorts of things because we think that they'll feel good and they'll satisfy. But you know what happens shortly after you eat the junk food? You're hungry again. See, I think spiritually the same thing happens. I think we've got a world of people that are hungry, but they are looking to fill their hunger with the wrong things, with things that feel good in the moment, but that won't actually be good long term. And so we're running after success, or we're running after education, or we're running after accomplishment, or we're running after relationships, all of these things that can bring us significance and value and worth. We're running after drugs and alcohol. This is why we have an opioid epidemic on Long Island and across the country. People are hungry, and they're looking for satisfaction in the wrong thing. And they're starving, and they're looking for meaning and purpose, and they want to feel good. And you know what? It feels good for a moment, but it doesn't last. And so you run to drugs, you run to alcohol, you run to partying, you run to sex, you run to relationships. You're going from one to the other, to the other, to the other, looking for something that will satisfy. Let me tell you, it won't satisfy. It's empty calories, and it's harmful for your soul. Come to the bread of life and receive a meal that will truly satisfy. I like the way Blaise Pascal says it. He says, we all have a God-shaped hole in every single one of us. It's a hole that God can only fill, right? We all have a longing, but we were made by God, and only he can satisfy that longing. Or what St. Augustine says here, he says, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Maybe you're here today and you can identify with that hunger or that restlessness, and you're searching and you're looking, and you've searched and you're trying to find something to fill it. Hear Jesus' words today. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. He satisfies us completely. But secondly, not only does he satisfy us completely, he secures us eternally. Don't miss this. This is an emphasis for Jesus in the passage today. He secures us eternally. What does Jesus say? He says, in verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." That word for life in the Hebrew text, there's two words Jesus could have used. I'm sorry, in the Greek text. The word bios, which is connected to our word biology, and the word zoe, which has a much stronger sense of life. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you life, not just temporarily, the way biology works, right? I'm going to give you a life of a different substance and quality that will carry over into eternity. He secures us eternally. I'm the bread of life. Or how about the next slide? Jesus makes it really explicit to the listeners. He says, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. It's about the time of the fat Passover. The Hebrew people are thinking about God's provision when he had bread come down from heaven every day. And he told the people, here's your provision, take it, eat, and you'll live. And every day they had to go out and they had to eat it. But what Jesus is saying, look, they ate the manna, they ate the bread, but what happened? Eventually they died. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Will live forever. Think about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you can eat food today. You can eat the bread we're going to give you. You can eat a meal this afternoon. But truthfully, you'll die. I'll die. We're all going to die. It's something we don't like talking about. It's something we don't like thinking about. But I think if we were honest for a moment, we would acknowledge that Jesus is right. Like, you know, death has like a 100% market penetration in the world, you know? Like, it claims everybody at one point or the other. 100% of the people that were born in the 1800s, they died, you know? And 100% of the people that are born in the 1900s, they'll die, right? It's like everyone at some point comes to the end of our lives. Everything that has a beginning has an ending. And Jesus is saying, however, if you receive me into your life, even though you die, you'll live on forever. I am the bread of life, eternal life with God. I've been thinking a lot about death lately, and it's not because I have like a terminal illness that you need to be praying for or anything like that, but it's actually because of a book that I just finished reading. I read this book a few weeks ago, but it stayed with me. Maybe you've read it. It's called When Breath Becomes Air, by Paul Kalanithi. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. New York Times bestseller, phenomenal book. It's a story of a young man who had accomplished a lot in his life. He went to Yale, and then he went on to Stanford. You know, he was a medical student. He was in his medical residency, and he was studying to be a neurosurgeon. I mean, like, you say, well, that's not brain surgery. What he was doing, this was brain surgery, right? So very bright, very accomplished man on a high track for the rest of his life. But at the age of 36, one day, he started feeling pain in his chest. And so he went and he got some scans done, and, you know, they actually gave him the results to view. He's a doctor, right? He'd seen many of them before. Only this time it was his own. And as he looked at the scans, he saw tumors all throughout his lungs. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, 36 years old. 0.0001% of the population get that diagnosis, and yet he got it. And so we started thinking about death and life and meaning and mortality and what we're here for and what this is all about and how to have purpose in his life. And he grew up a Christian, grew up in the church, but as he got older and went off to college, he walked away from his faith. But don't you know, at 36, with this kind of diagnosis, he found his way back to Jesus. And during the last years of his life, he wrote his words of what he was experiencing and feeling and going through. And I read the book, and it's one of those books that just stayed with me a little bit, right? And I don't really know why, but I think it's possible that the reason this book is staying with me more than others is because I'm the same age he was when he got his diagnosis. I thought, you know, I'm 36 years old. I feel like good things are happening in my life. I mean, I just got voted in to be your senior pastor. I'm excited about the trajectory. I've got a great wife and kids and staff and team. I'm healthy. I feel good. Everything seems to be going well, but I'm the same age and on a dime. We know this. Something could change. And so we started thinking about death, and it's something I've been thinking about too. I want to invite you to think about your own mortality just for a moment here today. It's uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about it, right? But can we just be honest for a moment? We know that everyone at some point will die. In fact, let me ask this question. Raise your hand and keep your hand raised if you believe that this, today, somewhere in the world, someone will die. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, okay? Keep them up. I asked Siri this question this morning. How many people will die today? You know how many? 159,000 people will die today. That's 57 million people this year will die. Now, keep your hands raised if you agree with those facts. People will die today. People will die this year. Keep your hand raised. You believe people will die, okay? Now, you can put them down. Now, raise your hand if you believe that person is you. We all admit and can affirm, we know thousands of people will die today. Millions will die this year. And yet, none of us ever believe it's us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life eternal. We're all going to get to that day. We're all going to get to the end. I don't know when or where or how, but you and I, we both know it's true. Do you have a plan for that day? Do you have a plan in place? You know, Jesus came to give you a plan for that day. He came to give life to the world, life eternal. It's so easy. You ask Jesus to come into your life. That's all you got to do. You just ask him. You just turn to him. You trust in him. You give your life to him. You ask him to come in, and he says, I am the bread of life. If you take me into your life, you will live forever and never die. He secures us eternally. Maybe today is that day for you to finally turn and trust in Jesus and pray to him and ask him to come into your life and hold you safe and secure for all eternity. He satisfies us fully, completely. He secures us eternally. Isn't that true? But then lastly, let's not miss this last one. He invites us personally. He invites us personally. Every single one of us are to receive personally for ourselves this bread who is offered to the world. What does Jesus say? He says, whoever comes to me, whoever comes will never go hungry. Here is the bread of life which anyone may eat. In one sense, Jesus is radically exclusive. I am the bread of life. You have to come to him to receive life. And at the same time, he says, anyone who comes, whoever comes. It's an open door. It's an open invitation. It's an open table. The bread is here for you. Come and take it and eat. I received Jesus Christ into my life when I was 16 years old. I look at our students who are sitting here today. I was your age when I received Jesus into my life personally. Maybe you're here today and you haven't done it yet. Come and receive the gift of the bread of life. Or maybe you're here today and you've received Jesus into your life and you'd say, I'm a Christian. I've trusted in Jesus by faith. He said, what is the work that God requires to believe in the one whom he sent? I've done that, Henry. I've believed. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. Well, if that's you here today, I want to invite you to come again personally to the table. You know, you don't just eat once of Jesus and you're done. Right? I mean, I think there are some Christians out here who are hungry, who are starving. I mean, you come to church on a Sunday and you're going to leave here and you're going to go out to lunch and you're going to talk about the sermon and you're going to say, you know, I don't know. I really didn't get fed today. I really didn't get fed today. And I'd say, you know what? One of the reasons you might be hungry is because you're only eating once a week. If I ate, you know, dinner once a week, I'd be starving all week long. Perhaps you're here today and you're eating too infrequently. You're eating too irregularly. You need to come back to the table day after day after day and to feast on truth, on his words, on the person of Jesus. He invites us all personally to come to him. I want to close with this image and this final illustration. As I think about what it means to come to Jesus personally for ourselves, I think about this monument that I saw in Washington, D.C. just a few years ago. I love Washington, D.C. I love history. I love the monuments there. And this is the FDR Memorial. Maybe you've been there. FDR had four terms in office, and so they have four different sections where they sort of commemorate his presidency. And in one of the sections, you know, FDR was president during the Great Depression. It was a time of scarcity in American life where there wasn't enough food for people. And so on the one side of the image, on the right side, he's got a bread line. This is what happened. Here's a close-up of this image. There were people in American history right after the Depression who would have to wait in line for bread. And the artist who was asked to depict this sculpture, his name is George Segal. George Segal, a famous painter and sculptor, he's actually from New York City. He's a graduate of Stuyvesant High School. He sculpted this image of these five men waiting by the door, waiting on the bread line to receive bread. But he was so moved by the notion of other Americans needing bread that what he did is when he sculpted this image, he sculpted five people, as you can see. Four of them are close friends of his, and actually Segal sculpted himself as one of the fifth in line. I want you to think about that for a moment. He saw this waiting in line for bread not as something that other people did in another time, in another place. He said, no. In the same way they had to wait in line, I want to so identify with that, I'm going to put myself right there in the bread line. And this is the invitation for you today. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, don't see this as a word for other people in another time, in another place. No. I want to invite you to get in the bread line, to stand in line, to come and receive bread from the bread of life, and to receive his gift personally for yourself. I'm going to invite our worship team forward. You guys can come forward. As we transition now to receive the Lord's table, and I'm going to give you a chance to receive this bread for yourselves. But think about these words. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry. And so take a moment to think about your own heart, your own life today. Maybe you're here and you need to come in the bread line for the first time. You need to come and ask Jesus to come into your life and into your heart and to save you, right? And to receive this free gift of God that is the bread of life. I want to invite you today to get in that bread line and receive from Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you've been satisfied or feasting on all sorts of other things that cannot satisfy. And you've been going from relationship to relationship, or you've been putting your trust in success or in money or in all sorts of things, or educational achievement, and if I have this, then I'll be satisfied. Jesus says, no. No. You're going to be hungry again. Come to me. I'm the bread of life. Maybe you're here today and that's you. I want to invite you to get in the bread line. Maybe you're here and you're just eating too infrequently, right? You're coming to you're feasting on his words. In John 6, Peter says, you alone have words of eternal life at the end of the text. You're not hearing his words nearly often enough. And you're starving, and you're hungry. Step in the bread line. Step in the bread line. Come to the one who says, I am the bread of life, and receive from him today. Let's pray. God, our prayer, you would do work in each of our hearts, in each of our lives this morning, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, whatever, like, we all need the bread. And so we want to step in line, and we want to receive all that you have for us today. Would you meet us where we are? And Lord, may we hold on to you today. Just as those children were holding on to bread and that's what gave them hope, we want to hold on to you, Jesus, and have hope because of what you have done for us. We pray you would do this work in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.